You are hot, you are smart, and you're fun to be around. So start acting like it.
Okay.
Now.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Your audience is just a bunch of masochists. They just want me to be their dom.
It's unbelievable. If you were a dom.
I'd be amazing. I know.
If you were a dom, I think you'd be a
I'd be so good at it, wouldn't I?
I just think that would be a great fit.
And that's called talent, people.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Greene. This is our local D-list celebrity, Christina. Best to you, Christina.
Oh, best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. All right, so right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you, because I told you my most embarrassing concert that I've ever been to last time I was here.
Okay.
But I have now topped that embarrassing concert with yet another embarrassing concert. Let me get the rumors out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Let me settle everybody down for a second.
It's not Dua Lipa.
It's not Dua Lipa. I would not be embarrassed about that. I'd be like, I went to Dua Lipa.
That'd be amazing.
With all the boys. I went with the boys.
Me and the boys went to see Dua.
Settle down, sister. But what I did do is I took my wife, because I'm a loving husband who wants to see and it gets excited by others' enjoyment in their own particular
amazing
hobbies and loves and cares. I took my wife to see Jonas Brothers.
He's benevolent.
I am. What can I say? And I gotta tell you, I'm not embarrassed to say this because I've already told you I went to the Jonas Brothers concert. How low can we go? I have to tell you that if I had a choice between seeing Taylor Swift's outrageous stage production again, mm-hmm, or seeing the Jonas Brothers a second time,
mm-hmm,
which probably will never happen also, I would tell you that I would go see the Jonas Brothers again.
That's weird to me.
Is it weird?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because I feel like the purely the production value of like a Taylor Swift show is probably way higher than a Jonas Brothers show. But
for sure.
And so I'm like, oh, I'm in it for the show.
Yeah. You know? Okay. So let me explain mine.
Okay.
My line of thinking on this. And Nasser and I had a long conversation about this on the way home.
Okay.
Taylor Swift music is well known. There's a lot of songs that you know from Taylor Swift. If you're just a human being who happens to be in tune, alive and in tune with anything having to do with pop culture, you know a couple of Taylor Swift songs. Jonas Brothers, less known, but very popular
I
in their own right.
Red Dress.
What is that?
Red Dress.
I don't know that
one.
You
don't know? It's from Burning Up, maybe. And it's like, it's a meme, basically. It's like, he's like, Red Dress. And then Nick goes, Red Dress.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then they showed a girl in the red dress, like, when they were singing that song.
Oh, did they?
And the whole fucking place went absolutely bananas.
Because everyone knows, Red Dress.
Red Dress. Joe's like the lead guy. He's the guy who's going through a divorce with the
Sophie Turner, Queen of the North.
Oh my God.
Fucking love her.
She is so incredibly good. What a badass
bitch. She's delicious, stunning, amazing, talented delicious queen.
She's a delicious, delicious
Slay
human being. Slay, that's right. Seems like
I just wanted to get you to say Slay.
Slay, sister.
Slay, Slay queen.
I will say this, that Joe looks a bit out of sorts yesterday.
Yeah.
It looked like, I mean,
you divorced the Queen of the North. You must be suffering.
I'll tell you a couple of things that I noticed, but let me share with you my reasoning I would go see Jonas Brothers. Well, it was me that went off track because that's what I always do. The reason why I would go see Jonas Brothers over Taylor Swift is because purely from a musicality standpoint, it's closer to the type of thing that I would enjoy organically than Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's production is something I've never seen. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. The stage is huge. Everything's grand. These are people at the top of their fucking game putting together this Taylor Swift thing. We got the B players doing the Jonas Brothers, but it's not a bad show. I mean, it's not like technically it wasn't a bad show. Fireworks and lights and the whole nine yards.
Mm.
But they had a horn section.
That is cool.
They had three guitars. They had a bass, two drummers, lots of backup singers.
I know music. Yeah.
Yeah. You know music. You know how it goes.
Yeah,
I played saxophone in ninth grade.
I played the French horn. Come at me.
You did?
Yes.
I thought those French horn players were a little weird.
Yeah.
I was looking at my yearbook last night when I got back from the Jonas Brothers. Don't ask me why.
Sure.
My yearbook from junior year. And I just I was looking at, I was in band, so I was looking at the band pictures.
Right.
And I do remember the French horn girls kind of being strange.
It was, yeah, we're weird.
Yeah.
What can I say?
You know, you gotta stick your hand up at French
horn. Yeah, you do have to stick your hand up the big horn. It's just weird. It's like just having your hand like up an ass. Yeah,
up an ass the whole time. Are you just like moving it in and out?
It's a vibe.
I'm not arguing.
And you know what?
Anybody.
The French horn is a beautiful instrument.
It does have a beautiful tone
it's
to it. I will
beautiful.
Tell you that. Yeah, I agree
like,
with you.
Yeah, it was a weird choice, but you know what? It was cool.
I don't know. Something about those French horn girls.
Yeah. Sluts.
Yeah. Total hussies. And I went to
hussies.
Catholic school. Hussy. That's what my mom would say.
Total hussy, Brian.
She's a total hussy.
What does that mean, Mom?
Someone that likes to get it from multiple people.
Hussy.
Okay. Hussy.
I love it.
So from a musicality standpoint, it's a little bit more rocky than Taylor's.
Yeah.
So from that pure angle right there, I actually That's found fair. Myself nodding my head a little bit like, oh, okay. I knew none of the lyrics, but and I was the only one in the stadium that didn't know any of the lyrics.
Right.
I can appreciate just how many people in that crowd.
Yeah.
And it was way more female than the Taylor Swift audience. There were a lot of guys in Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Jonas Brothers, not so much. I found myself bobbing along to some of the songs, and they were so quick. Like they did five albums back to back to back, and they were running ripshot over those songs. Maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes, possibly 3 minutes long, back to back to back to back, bang, 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 bang. No crowd interaction. The crowd interaction that they did do was mainly done by Joe, and he seemed like he might have been a little drunk or something.
Yeah.
He had a sway going on that was like unmistakable to me as a guy who spent a lot of time on the inside of a bar.
Swaying,
yes. As a guy who spent a lot of time on the inside of a bar and a guy who probably a lot of other people saw doing the same thing.
Yeah. That guy, he's drunk.
Joe seemed off.
Yeah.
He seemed off.
I've seen some videos online of him like...
Oh, really?
Definitely seeming drunk at a concert.
On stage?
On stage.
Recently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look good.
No.
It's not a good look.
It's not a good look.
I mean...
What are you going to do? Like, I went through a divorce, and I was allowed to be drunk and fucked up in my own house by myself, me and my dogs watching Top Chef, for like an entire year. But Joe has to go out on stage almost every night of the week. These guys have a tour that's going on that's unbelievable. They are doing the same set list night after night, just like Taylor does, and they're doing it almost six nights a week.
Yeah, but what I will say is, from what I've heard, I'm a gossip queen.
Go for it, girl. Tell me. Give me the dish.
I love the goss.
Dish.
From
dish
what I've heard,
deets.
He did file for divorce from her without telling her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she found out through the media.
And am I correct in saying this because I have a wife who also is into all these details, all these gossipy details?
I love drama. What can I say?
I love drama, too.
Yeah.
I create it.
Yeah.
That's my job.
You do love drama, and I love that about you.
Thank you. We are kindred spirits in that way.
Yeah.
What, is it true or not true, and you can fill me in on the details, that Joe reportedly was upset by all of the late-night comings and goings of his ex-wife? In other words, he didn't like the fact she was out at the bar all the time and drinking all the time.
Yeah, he like tried to say that, but then it sort of like backfired on him. Like his PR was really bad at the beginning of this whole divorce thing.
Yeah.
Because it was like all through sort of the pandemic, all of her interviews and stuff, basically she was like, oh yeah, like I'm such a homebody. Like I love being in quarantine. This is great, whatever. Joe's the one that's like really suffering. Like he's such an extrovert. He always wants to be out, blah, blah, blah. So like it feels like he's kind of trying to like flip the script and be like, she's a bad mother,
really?
Blah, blah, blah. But then like apparently he's held back the passports from her and her kids, or not her, but from her kids, because she was in London filming.
Okay.
And he was in the US doing the tour with a nanny and the kids, right? And their supposed permanent home was in England, but now he's an American, like, wouldn't give the kids' passports back to Sophie. And so...
It's kind of shitty.
Yeah, so she had to come back to New York, and coincidentally, she's staying in one of Taylor Swift's, I guess, many homes.
Really?
Yeah, this is what I've heard. I mean, I don't know if any of this is true.
Probably.
But, like, so she, like...
Where is the smoke,
and then
fire.
She's stepped out, like, with Taylor Swift, like, for dinner and stuff. So they've been, like... papped together. And,
true or not true, one of the Jonas Brothers dated Taylor Swift.
Joe.
Yeah. Oh, Joe dated Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so both of these exes are getting together and kind of giving him a big fuck you.
Mm-hmm. And there's an amazing paparazzi shot of Taylor at dinner with her, like literally jaw dropped, like horrified at whatever Sophie's telling her. Something
really?
Like, she's like,
interesting.
Or it's like the type of photo, like we know that look.
Yeah.
It's the look you give when you're like, I will kill that man.
Yeah, I will kill that man, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I know who he is,
yeah.
And this is even surprising for me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
I will share this.
Drama.
I have never seen so much private security.
Yeah.
For one human being. There were,
for
I
who?
Counted.
For Taylor Swift?
For Joe Jonas.
For Joe Jonas. Oh.
So when you go to a big concert like this, just, and I know this just from a small amount of time I've spent in the live production world, that you usually have like state patrol officers are somewhere around.
Okay.
Then you have the local police department. You may have specialized police officers who specialize in working big events and crowds. So there's probably 200, maybe 300 officers that are around any particular live show, like this big sold out live show. And then you have the trained security guards who are usually standing up front, making sure that no one gets on stage.
Mm-hmm.
That are specific to that arena, but they're trained. And then you have the untrained security guards who are just walking around pointing the flashlight at people, telling them not to smoke pot or whatever.
Right.
Then probably most of these famous people have some kind of private security that rolls with them that are highly trained security guards, like, you know, ex-IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, you know, old CIA guys, FBI dudes, whatever. There were, I counted, no less than 10 private security guards that walked out with the three boys and followed them around the stage in front of the stage. So there's there's this big stage.
Uh-huh.
It came out into the crowd. And then there was a walkway so they could get to this little podium where it had a piano in the back of the arena. These guys were following them around the stage.
No offense, but like they're not the Beatles.
No, they aren't.
Like this just feels like a little bit like overkill.
Doesn't it seem like a little much?
It seems like a lot.
And I noticed
and
that
like,
they
it's
were paying
just the Jonas Brothers.
They were paying extra close attention to Joe. And
well,
I
maybe because
myself,
they're like we all kneel for the Queen of the North, you know?
Absolutely.
Like we're here.
He might
I'm
be getting
throw
death
tomatoes
threats. That's
right. Joe on stage.
Hold on.
Yes, exactly. When I throw the tomatoes.
That's me when I see Joe, I'm like, I love you.
Yeah, you're a fangirl, I think.
I am. I will never miss another Jonas Brothers concert ever again.
Just for that horn section.
I know. Astrid bought a t-shirt for me to wear to the concert, and I was like, Astrid, there is no fucking way on earth that I am wearing that t-shirt.
I love that she did that,
Jonas,
though.
Yeah, she tried to get me to fanboy, but I'm like, I don't know one of their fucking songs, except for one.
Except for Randall.
No, the song. Dun, 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 dun. Kick by the ocean.
Oh, I fucking hate that song. That's also not even the Jonas Brothers. That's just Joe.
Why would we eat cake by the ocean? Why is
that
a thing? Who eats cake where there's sand? Who wants sand in their food?
Not
I don't
me.
Even like having a drink on the beach sometimes because I get sand everywhere. It is the most ridiculous lyric
it's a stupid
I have ever heard.
Song, and I fucking hate it.
I know, and everybody like... The crowd went absolutely bananas when this
song...
That's
so annoying. I think that song came out when I was in college, and one of my roommates used to play it all the time, and I was like, turn the fuck off. But then I was busy, like, hyper-fixating on another album, so she probably hated me doing that, too.
Which album were you hyper-fixating on?
Sylvan Esso's... I guess it's like their, like, titular album. It's like S.E. or so. I don't know what the actual album's called, but it's Sylvan Esso.
Tits. It's called Tits.
It's called Tits.
Sylvan Esso.
Yeah.
I have never heard of this.
It's kind of like, I'm not like a music girl. I don't know how to describe things.
Is it rock?
No.
Is it jazz?
No.
Is it blues?
No.
Is it pop?
Kind of.
Is it like dance
it's
music?
It's like indie pop, maybe.
Indie pop is
actually,
cool.
But it's kind of like synthy and a little like electronic almost,
okay.
But it's not like... electronic.
So is
like
it,
that's not my vibe, but
is it retro? Is that what you would call it?
No, it's like vibey. Like vibey indie pop.
Do you dance to it?
You can.
Is it moody?
Kind of.
Is it eclectic?
Yes.
I think we've described the
amazing
Sylvan Esso's Tits album. Described here by Christina.
Honestly, it's one of my like favorite albums. It was really a
if you could see any artist
me
in the
some
world
hard times.
Any artist in the world, alive or dead. Any musical artist, live or dead, who would you see?
Maybe this is a lame choice.
There's no lame choices, only lame people. So go for it.
I think I would want to see James Taylor.
You'd want to see James Taylor?
Just for the nostalgia for me, because it's like, that's, oh, yeah. It's like the album I grew up listening to. Like, it was, you know, in that CD player all the time. It was like James Taylor's greatest hits. And so whenever I listen to that album, it just makes me feel warm and fuzzy.
He's certainly a talented artist.
Yeah. I love James Taylor.
He's a little yacht rocky for me, James Taylor.
Oh, I love it, man.
I know. I know a lot of people who like James Taylor. It just brings me a lot of peace.
It would be that or like Eva Cassidy, which is another weird choice, and I'd probably spend the whole time crying.
Well, I think I would pick Velvet Underground. I think I would pick the Velvet Underground. Of course you don't. The Velvet Underground? You don't know who the Velvet Underground is?
Is it a band?
That would be a good choice.
Okay.
Yeah. They're a band who was put together by Andy Warhol back in the 70s.
I know that name.
There you go. So they were, I guess, kinship. They were around the same time when the Doors were around.
Okay, yeah.
Zeppelin, stuff like that. But they were a very avant-garde.
Okay.
Lou Reed, who you may have heard that name before. No, Lou Reed.
I'm not a music girl. I don't know anything about
I'm sending
history.
You Lou Reed. Lou Reed is like, he's a famous heroin addict.
Oh,
one
great.
Of their, one of their,
love that.
One of their best songs, in my opinion, is a song called Heroin. That's just the name of the song is Heroin. But the Velvet Underground are one of the most incredibly eclectic yet moody and simple rock musicians you have ever heard. I actually think you would get into it. I'm just taking a guess, but I think you would get into it if you would listen to it.
Well, color me intrigued.
I will color you whatever color you want to be.
Intrigued. The color is intrigued.
I am colorblind, so I don't know what that is.
Oh,
but
God, I forgot about that. So untrustworthy.
And, you know, if I could tell you something about the Jonas Brothers, I will tell you this.
Mm.
There couldn't be a band further away from the Velvet Underground than the Jonas Brothers. So,
yeah.
I don't think I'll be taking a second swipe at the Jonas Brothers, but if I had to, I would go.
Yeah.
I would go.
Okay. All right.
I say good on the Jonas Brothers. And
sure.
No matter what. No matter what.
I say good on Kevin.
What's that?
Good on Kevin.
Yeah. So
Kevin's my number one.
So I don't know who any of these are, these guys are. I don't know. Joe is Joe. Mm-hmm. I don't know any of their names. Nick, Joe, and Kevin. So Astrid's giving me the whole rundown, and she says, there's the other brother. And
that's
I go,
Kevin.
Right. Everyone says the other brother is Kevin.
Well, there's actually another brother.
And there's a fourth brother.
Yeah.
Okay. So Astrid tells me this. And then somehow in my mind, I ask her a follow-up question. He's on stage, and she says, yes, he's right there. And she points. There's a guy playing guitar that's got dark, curly hair. And I say, oh, that's the guy. That's Kevin right there. That's the fourth brother.
Yeah.
And she goes, yes. And I go, oh, okay.
Okay.
So the entire concert, for like 21 songs, I'm like watching the fourth brother and thinking to myself, what a fucking shitty fucking straw to pull. Like, you got the fourth brother and the Jonas Brothers. And now you're playing backup guitar to your brother? Like, you get paid the same?
Mm-hmm.
How does dad feel about this? What kind of dinner conversations are going on? I'm all concerned about Kevin, the fourth brother. And so at intermission, I go, man, I really feel bad for that fourth brother. And she goes, which fourth brother? I go, the Jonas Brothers fourth brother. And she goes, yeah, he's not a musician, so he probably does. I go, well, he seems pretty talented. He's up there playing bass guitar and guitar. And she goes, the fourth brother's not up there playing bass guitar and guitar. I go, I just asked you about the fourth brother, and you said it was that guy. And she's like, it's not that guy. I'm talking, when I say the other brother, I'm talking about Kevin, the forgotten Jonas brother.
No, wait, okay. There's the three main ones who are there.
Yes, there's the three ones that were
Nick,
on stage.
Kevin, and Joe.
But Kevin apparently is the one that's not as popular as the other two.
Yes, but then there's also Frankie, who's the fourth brother.
I was totally confused.
Yeah.
I thought Kevin was the bass guitarist. And so the entire time I'm feeling bad for Kevin. I'm watching the interaction on stage between Kevin and the other three. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, they really don't treat him very well. They're like not paying much attention to him.
They fucking hate him.
Yeah.
Justice for Kevin.
Justice for Kevin. Kevin.
Oh my God.
Kevin doesn't have any laurels to rest on.
You know what? Kevin's the only one that seems remotely normal. So I'm here for Kevin.
Yeah, Brian. We get it. But back to me. I mean, this TCB promo. Leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3, and you might just hear yourself on the show. Want to text us instead? Lucky for you, we also have a number just for that. Text us at 855-TCB-8383 and give us compliments. You can also always go to tcbpodcast.com for all of our audio and video. Find us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at tcbpodcast. And find us on youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited episodes. Now that that's done, let's listen to a few sponsors and get back to this episode of The Commercial Break.
Well, how old are these guys? In their 20s or 30s?
I think they're all in their 30s. That's also an aspect of the divorce that I can't get behind, or I guess can get behind because it is, they are divorcing.
Yeah.
But Sophie Turner was like 19 when she started dating him, and he was like
27.
He was like in his mid to late 20s.
Okay.
And now she's like 26 and he's like 33. Okay. And so now her frontal lobe has developed and she's like, this was a bad idea.
That's what I was saying to Astrid. I'm like, listen.
I'm like, this poor girl, she got duped.
You know, when she was in Game of Thrones, right, she's just nude everywhere. And it's, I think we can all agree that part of the popularity of the show.
Is she that nude in that show?
The Khaleesi?
No, Sophie Turner.
Oh, I thought she was the Khaleesi.
Oh,
I'm totally
Brian,
fucking confused.
Brian.
I thought he was married to Khaleesi.
No, that is Emilia Clarke.
Okay. I didn't watch the show.
And she was only naked like the first season, and then she got to negotiate it out of her contract.
I was going
to
talk about this. Okay. So Sophie Turner was who?
The Queen of the North, Sansa. Sansa Stark.
Okay, now I know who you're talking about.
She's,
I don't know why
John's
I had those two confused.
Sister.
A John's sister. Okay. I was going to talk about the Khaleesi.
No. Wrong.
I thought Joe was married to the Khaleesi.
You are a fool.
Listen, I don't know the fucking thing about the Jonas Brothers. I don't know anything about their lives.
Yeah, but you've watched Game of Thrones.
I haven't watched that much Game of Thrones. I've watched two full episodes. Let me tell you my experience with Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Don't get mad at me. Don't give me fucking attitude.
I'm gonna.
Don't give me attitude.
I love Game of Thrones.
I sign your paycheck. Astrid does.
Astrid does.
Astrid does.
Yeah, screw you. Get Astrid in here.
To fire you, I have to go through Astrid, and yeah. I don't think she's going to allow it because that means I have to spend my entire life in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get invited when Game of Thrones is it's season two, the watch party or whatever. Uh-huh. And so what I get invited to this party, a friend of the girl that I'm dating at the time, it is a crowd of very eclectic nerds. Let's just say it that way, right? Nerds. And that's kind of the crowd. And I've met plenty of them and they're wonderful human beings. I have not a bad word to say about any of them, but they are very into what they're very into. And Game of Thrones was at this moment the thing that they were into. Uh-huh. So this party is on a Sunday night because I think that's when it was airing, right? Sunday night. And I get invited. It's like starts at 6 p.m. And I'm like, okay, 6 p.m. But the thing doesn't come on until 10 p.m. or whatever. We get there and the place is packed. There's like 20 people in this small apartment and they are just starting season one of, they're going to rewatch the entire season one and then get to.
All in one night?
All in one night.
That's
Christina.
Crazy.
It was nuts. It was like, this party's going to go on until 3 or 4 in the morning.
That's crazy.
And I'm thinking to myself, I can't do this. So I'm sitting there trying to watch season one and they are all.
Well, they probably all know everything about it.
And
that's
like,
annoying.
Well, this is different from the book. One of the guys has a copy of the book. You see this? And I'm like, I can't deal with all this bullshit. I just want to.
The books and the show are totally different. It's just not the same thing. Like, don't get hung up on it.
These guys were all hung
that's
up
on annoying.
It.
That's annoying. I hate that for you.
These
I wish you had had a different
guys.
Experience.
I know. I wish I did too. Because I watched that.
It's a great show.
That first episode. And then I made it halfway through the second episode. And by the end
You're
of the
like,
second
I
hour, I know, seriously, Christina, I just couldn't deal with it.
That's fair.
And then anytime I heard the word Game of Thrones, all I could think about was that party where I was absolutely annoyed by the pausing and the talking and this
You're
about
like,
the book. And
I just need to be contrarian about this and not watch it.
And there was a guy next to me and he was like, wanted to explain every bit of it as
no.
I was going on. Please don't
shut
do that
up.
To me. Yeah.
If we are watching a TV show or anything together, please shut the fuck up.
Is this not the most annoying thing in the world to you?
I fucking hate it. If you have something to say, like get it out of the way before or wait, take notes, talk about it after.
Absolutely.
Or like we can pause if we need to, but don't get crazy.
Astrid is one of these people and I love her dearly. And
my
she
sister
knows
is
this,
too.
Is that every time Astrid needs to ask the question as it's happening.
Yeah.
And a lot of times if we're watching like a drama-based show, fictional show, she's asking me what I think happens at the end.
And I'm like, we don't know yet.
We don't know.
I don't know.
what I think is irrelevant because I don't know what happens. There's a lot of foreshadowing that's going on here. Here's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But then Astrid has to ask a question about every character and about what I think about a character. And I love her dearly. But
shut up.
Sometimes, babe, Can we do this at the end?
Yeah,
we can have a recap.
Let's debrief after, but please don't talk about it now.
Y'all are being legitimate assholes.
Well, yes, we are, because people talking during a show is not a good thing.
Don't like it.
Oh, God, drives me crazy.
It makes me so mad.
So my experience with Game of Thrones was shot from the beginning.
Yeah, fair.
But maybe I have to go take a rewatch.
Maybe. You know what? I watched, like, I was not a Game of Thrones person. I never watched it. I think I read, like, one of the books because I like to read.
Yeah.
But then I was like, there's too much going on in here. I'm not into it. Then I watched, because season 7 was about to start. And so me, my sister, and my dad, my sister and my dad had already seen it.
Mm.
They were like, let's rewatch from the beginning. And I was like, fuck yeah. All right, sure. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So we watched it one summer before it came out, and I got hooked. And I was like, yes. I love that drama.
Oh.
There's so much drama.
You know, I probably should watch it, and I'll tell you why. I never watched those. What were the four J.R. Tolkien movies?
Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings. Okay, hold on. Hold on. Before you crawl directly at my asshole,
okay.
Give me a sec.
I'm about to set up camp.
With that French horn hand of yours, I got to be careful.
It's very experienced.
You're going to start playing Brian's asshole. So,
barf.
I hear an HR complaint coming.
Astrid.
So, I'm with my ex-wife. We're dating. And the third movie has just come out on video, on DVD. And there's still a Blockbuster down the street. You know what I'm saying? So, she says, we're talking about Lord of the Rings. She's like, I cannot believe you have not seen Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. You would love it. And I'm like, I will not. I can guarantee you, I'm not into that fantasy drama bullshit. Like, I'm just not into fantasy shit. I'm not into J.R. Tolkien. I'm not into any of that stuff. And she says, give it a try. If in the first 30 minutes you don't like it, then turn it off, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not committing to a 2.5-hour fucking movie that I know I'm not going to like anyway. But because I like the girl that I'm dating and she's asking me to do something on her behalf, I said, okay, I'll do it. Let's go rent it. So we go rent it. I don't know. Maybe it's 10 o'clock on a Saturday. We go, we rent it. We put it in. Within 20 minutes, I pause the movie. The Blockbuster's within walking distance. I put on my coat. And I go walk to the Blockbuster to get the other two movies because I want to watch them back to back to back.
Yes!
And I did. In one night, I watched them all back to back to back. I watched the sunrise to Lord of the Rings.
That makes me
I
so happy.
I was so impressed by the movie. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. Didn't understand a fucking word of it, but I loved it. I was like, this is incredible.
Aragorn was my sexual awakening.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? I was like, who is that?
Yes.
Hot, delicious man with shoulder-length hair.
Ear corn was her first sexual awakening. Regular corn was my first sexual awakening.
It was that and Stick It, if you know, you know.
Don't know. Stick It.
It's because you're not a little gay, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm all gay!
Yeah, no.
Hey, ladies.
Stick It was like a gymnastics movie, and it's
I've seen it.
Oh, you know it. You know it. Okay, cool.
I've seen it, and I actually liked it.
Oh,
I thought it was
Stick
okay.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Stick It and Aragorn.
Are your sexual awakenings?
Yeah.
Are you in love with cookware? What's going on?
Whatever.
So.
Okay.
As our resident single lady.
Yeah.
I have a little game I want to play.
Okay.
There is a company out there. I haven't used this product much, but I will say that we're going to use it today. And I want to shout out and I want to give credit to where the content is coming from because I think that's an important thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Poddex.
So benevolent.
I know. I'm so nice. Poddex is a company who provides an app where you can go and flip through a bunch of categories and they give you ideas for your podcast, hence the name Poddex. I have had the app on my phone for a while, but I don't use it because I just find it not to be relevant to the commercial break. How do you, which topic do you use when you're on an ADHD podcast where nothing ever gets talked about for more than a minute and a half? But they have a category called love and relationships. And these are questions you should be asking yourself or the one that you're dating.
Okay.
And so I thought that I would shoot a few of these your way.
Sure.
And let's see how you answer these questions as our resident single.
Before we get into it, I need to clear something up.
Go.
About rose jail.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Please.
So, rose jail.
Okay.
So, I just call it rose jail. It's not actually rose jail. Okay. So, it's not... Hinge is not deciding who's hot, who's not.
Okay.
I thought you were going to go,
hoo-ha. I was going to, but I'm trying to stay away from low-hanging fruit. Yeah.
Okay. So they don't decide who's hot, who's not, and put them in your, it's called the standouts category or whatever. Okay. What they do, it's their algorithm. It's who you like, who you would most likely be interested in. That is who gets put in Rose Jail.
Well, that is even more shitty.
Yeah. No, it fucking sucks. It fucking sucks.
So here are the people you're most likely to, here's some people you are most likely to care for, to be connected with.
Yeah, they're like, oh, these are the standouts, the people like we really think you really like. And then you go to look at it. And then if you want to like someone, you have to send a rose. You're not just allowed to like them like a regular person. You have to send them a rose. And you only get like one rose a day or something. And if you want to send more, you have to upgrade. And it's $15 a month. I just looked at it because I was like, obviously, I would never do it. But yeah, and when you send someone a rose, it goes to the top of their likes pile. So they see it first.
Okay. So the principle is the same.
Yes.
What it is that they're picking the hot people for you.
Yes.
So it is an algorithm that's picking it.
Yes.
So Hinge is making this decision.
Yes.
Okay. The algorithm, whatever it is. Hinge and the algorithm
likely the same thing.
And then they're making you pay to get together with the people you most likely are to be connected with.
To send more than one like to, like, this group of 10 people or whatever. Because they'll give you, like, a new group every day or a new group of standouts every few days or something. I don't know. I don't really look at them. But there are people say there are ways to, like, beat the algorithm where you can just get, like, say no to everyone in your standouts. And then, like, if you keep doing that, then eventually it'll be like, oh, you don't like these people, and it'll put them in your regular likes. But then it's like you have to play the freaking algorithm to just see people you'd like on a freaking dating app. It sucks so much. And I'm thinking about maybe deleting it and maybe doing Bumble instead. I don't know.
We at Hinge care about you and the community of single people we're trying to tailor to. People that are most likely to stalk you, have a field day.
Oh my God.
Open a can of worms. People you're most likely to connect with in a sincere way, unfortunately, we have to pay to meet those people.
Yeah.
It is the most. That's so.
It's fucked up.
Fucked up to me.
It's so fucked up.
That's so fucked up to me.
Yeah.
That Hinge is making a decision to put the people that you are most likely to have a sincere connection with behind a paywall.
Yeah. Because they want money.
All the other shitheads.
Yeah.
That are most likely that you're not going to connect
They're
with.
They're in your likes already.
They're in your likes already. How twisted is that?
It is fucked up. And then it's also just like there's a level of embarrassment in sending a rose.
Of course.
It's so fucking embarrassing. Whenever someone sends me a rose, I'm like, yikes. And it's awkward, but also I'm a catch. So like, of course you're going to send me a rose.
You're a hot toddy. You're a hot toddy. You need a rose.
Of course you're going to send me a rose.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you get sent a rose,
yeah,
are you more likely to respond to someone who sends you a rose? Be honest.
No. I think it's just the same.
Okay.
It's just whether or not I like their answer or their whatever. It's nice, though, that it does go to the top of your likes pile, because if you're someone like me... There's a lot to go through.
Who has hundreds of
people. I'm going to clear them out. I'm going to clear them out and like start over.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. And then I'll update you.
Oh, my God. Well, you know,
what happens.
If the responses that we got on the show last time you appeared are any indication, we could probably find you someone here at the commercial break. Average age, 72 years old.
Your audience is just a bunch of masochists. They just want me to be their dom.
It's unbelievable. If you were a dom.
I'd be amazing. I know.
If you were a dom, I think you'd be a good dom.
At it, wouldn't I?
I just think that would be a great fit.
And that's called talent, people.
I knew a dom. I've known a couple doms, actually.
I'm sure you have.
When I was in a band one time, I lived with six other people in this tiny fucking 1,200.
Was this like Free Willy or whatever?
Yeah, Free Willy.
What is it called?
Chopper Johnson. 33 Willy.
Free Willy.
33P.
33P.
I always name my bands with some kind of, you know... titular. Some kind of sexual innuendo.
Yes.
33 Willy. Chopper Johnson.
Disgusting.
I just can't help it. Not disgusting. It's lovely.
Yeah.
The girls loved it. That one girl loved
it. They loved it. We had a lot of two fans.
We had a lot of people that unintentionally showed up at the bar when we were playing. I'm just sharing that with you.
They were just near.
But I lived in this 1,200 square foot house with these six, there was six of us total, five bandmates, and then one girl of
that
the guy.
Poor girl.
And that poor girl, don't talk about that poor girl.
Oh, okay.
That poor girl was a dom.
Oh, hell yeah.
And the guy in the band who was living with her was the submissive.
I love that.
So they would oftentimes walk out of the bedroom and he was on a leash. And I am not fucking kidding you. It was insane.
Have you seen the show Bonding? I think it's Bonding.
Bonding?
No. Bonding.
No.
Oh my God. It's on Netflix. It is so fucking good. It is beautifully made. And I think there's only two seasons of it right now, but it's about a girl who becomes a dominatrix.
Really?
Yeah. It's really awesome.
I would like to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I'm not into pain and pleasure at the same time. I'm kind of a baby in that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I had this attorney one time. He was an attorney.
Okay.
When I worked in the real estate industry. Super nice guy. He lived down the street from me. So we would oftentimes get together socially. He's around my same age. So the first time I ever get invited over to his house, I go over there. There's drinks a-flowing and whatever's going on. There's like 12 of us in the house.
Okay.
10 of the people quickly clear out of the house within an hour or two. It's getting late in the night. And so this guy, this attorney, we're just, you know, sitting in the kitchen drinking, doing whatever. And he says, "You want to see something cool?" I'm like, yeah, I do want to see something cool. As long as it doesn't include me being tied up somewhere, I do want to see something cool. Unfortunately, it did include.
No.
Not, I didn't get tied up. But he took me into his actual red room.
Fuck off.
With a actual fucking nest lock on the door in his house. And when he opened it up, Christina, I have seen the movies, the 50 Shades of Grey movies. Another thing I did for my wife. I saw the 50 Shades of Grey movies and that red room would go toe-to-toe with anything that was in that movie. It was like,
whoa.
It was lit darkly and properly. There were shelves, like, you know, built-in bookshelves. I call them bookshelves, but they were really dildo shelves.
Mm-hmm.
They had all of these toys, and he had a sex chair. He had a sex table. He had a sex swing.
Oh, my
God. He had all this
fun.
Stuff.
That's
oh,
so cool.
My God. He was, like, not the guy you would expect to be doing this
I love
either.
That even
it's
more.
Always the guys that you never, it's always the guys and girls that you never
oh,
expect.
I love that.
But I just thought to myself, wow, my attorney is fucking wild. I mean,
your
he
attorney
is wild.
Stays fucking.
He stays fucking. And he would date. He loved the strip club, and he would take these dancers home all the time.
Damn.
And now I know why.
Yeah.
It's because they all wanted to go to the red room.
Mm-hmm.
God bless a red room.
Oh, man. That's cool. That's
Astrid's
something.
Been asking for a red room. I gave her the TCB studio.
It didn't work out for her.
No dildos in here.
Just you.
Yeah. But I've been thinking about buying a pocket pussy. I don't know. Call
a
me
A pocket
up.
Pussy.
If anybody has one they're not using, send it.
I did date a guy who had a couple of fleshlights.
A couple of fleshlights?
Yeah.
If I was going to get a pocket pussy, I would get a fleshlight.
I mean,
who doesn't
nice,
want an ice cream cone with a pussy on the back?
I don't know. Obviously, I don't have a penis, so I don't know.
Have you seen the shape of a fleshlight?
Yes.
It literally looks like an ice cream cone with a vagina mouth on it.
I know.
It's disturbing.
It's
I don't
good.
Think I could have sex with an ice cream cone.
No.
I mean, maybe I could. I never have tried to have sex with an ice cream cone.
Angel says you could have been fucking a grapefruit this whole time. If you guys don't get that reference, just go to Google, YouTube.
I got it. All right. You want to answer a few questions about your dating life?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's go. These are completely random.
Okay.
And if I find one to be inappropriate or not interesting, I'll swipe by it.
Okay. Okay, podcast besties. Time for one more quick break, and then it's back to the drama. Check out tcbpodcast.com for all of our episodes and youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited video episodes. Find us on Instagram @thecommercialbreak and on TikTok @tcbpodcast. And of course, if you want to get in touch with us, which like, of course you do, leave us a voicemail at 626-ASK-TCB3 or text us at 855-TCB-8383. Now, let's listen to some sponsors and get this show going.
Okay, tell us about what is your worst dating experience? These are questions you should be asking on a date or of the people.
Okay.
So I'm asking you.
Worst dating experience,
Your worst
though?
Dating experience.
Honestly, like I haven't had,
You haven't had a nightmare date?
Just bad, like just boringly bad ones. But I will say I did go home with someone one time. We did engage in some fellatio. And then... he proceeded to not be able to have sex because of his antidepressants. And then I was like, okay, like very understanding about it. And then he was like, well, like good head's good head. And I was like, I need to leave.
He said good head is good head?
Yeah, because like he obviously came from the head. And then I was like, but you couldn't. Okay. Well, fuck you, sir. You're bad.
Okay.
Don't like you.
So hold on. So yeah. You guys go home, mm-hmm. give each other head.
Well.
Oh, you gave him head. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you wanted to take it further so that you could get off also.
Well, it was like, well, we started to do, to have sex.
Yeah. And he wasn't able to get it.
And it wasn't really working. And so then I was like, okay, well, let's try and work this out. And then he came.
And then he was done.
Well, good head's good head. And I was like, you're literally so gross. And I was like, I regret this immediately.
Yeah, that's kind of a disgusting display of really immaturity.
I was just like, this sucks. Like, you're mean.
It's totally mean.
It's like, I'm a nice lady and you're mean. So that, I guess I would say that was one of my worst
experiences. Let me give a little advice to the guys out there, to the gentlemen out there, the gentlemen mm-hmm. out there. And I say gentlemen because you should be a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
If both people aren't getting off, you're not in for the long run. You're in it for a minute. Yeah. And so if you are looking to date somebody and you care at all about their feelings or who they are as a person, you have to make an attempt to get them off too. It's not always going to happen. Guys are different than women. We all know this. I don't need to give a fucking sex ed class here. But I just find like the younger generation, I don't think they get it.
I will say, if I didn't come, it didn't count. Like, I don't count that as a sexual experience.
No!
Nope, I don't count it. I'm a virgin. And so I will say that. But then I will say some of my other younger companions have really been women first. And women first.
Good.
And I'm like, absolutely love
I'm
that
glad
for
to
us.
Hear that. I am so glad to hear that because
it's the guys my age who suck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We get written.
It's like the younger guys are better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they care more about women. The guys my age
how nice of you.
Are like, let's just get my dick wet.
I know and a lot of guys in general, just across the board.
So bad.
Who don't give a shit and they say it privately. We have people that write in, mainly mm-hmm. women, who write in with these horrible dating experiences. And this is repeated time after time after time. I dated this guy for 3 months. Never once did he even try to give me an orgasm. Yeah. I dated this guy for a couple of weeks. He could not find a clitoris if it was standing, if it was right in front of his nose.
I did break up with someone because he wouldn't try hard enough.
Just guys.
I was like, you're not doing enough for me.
It's not that hard. Just
it's
ask.
Really not.
Yeah, just
I was
ask.
Like, you just try.
Yeah,
like,
just
I
try.
Get that you're insecure, but just try.
Absolutely. Sex is an odd thing. There
That's
is
weird.
Sex is always weird. If you think about it, take it on face value. No matter what the sexual experience, there's always some oddity about it because it's
weird.
It's a weird thing to do and it's always sloppy and weird and you're trying to get in the right position and all that stuff.
Yeah.
If in all of that oddity you can bring some comfort by at least giving a shit, then I think you're one step ahead of the game.
That was my trouble with that one guy. He legitimately just was like, I don't care about you at all.
Well then
obviously no skin off my nose, but I regret that.
No foreskin off her nose. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Which body part on a lover is your favorite? I don't know how you would ask this of someone.
Like not, like obvious, like not the genital.
It doesn't say. It just says which body part is your favorite.
Which body part is your favorite? Okay. I love a good earlobe. Love a good earlobe and I love a good shoulder.
A good shoulder. I like a good shoulder.
Yeah, love a good shoulder.
A good shoulder. A good neck. A good shoulder.
Yeah.
A nice vagina always helps in this situation.
I'm like, that stuff, like, it's, I don't know. So, and obviously, who doesn't love a butt?
Yeah, I like a butt, too.
Who doesn't love a butt?
But I don't know. There's something about, like, a good neck that I really think I like a lot.
Okay, I can see that.
I don't know.
I find necks to be very phallic.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Like, it's like...
It's very...
dick-shaped?
If you, like, lean your head back and, like really lean your head back...
As I'm doing it right now.
And, like, you get the shape of the chin sort of up. That just, to me, looks like a penis. And it's very veiny.
Yeah.
So it's just very phallic, like, that's a penis.
You kind of see what you're saying there.
You know?
I never thought about it that way.
So, like, necks are fine.
It's like all the Family Guy people have balls on their chin.
Oh, yeah, they do.
That's an old one. Okay, ready?
Uh-huh.
What is the worst pickup line you have ever heard?
I mean, there's... People don't really use pickup lines anymore.
It's just like, hey, what's up, girl?
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly that. But I will say...
It's hard to preach on a full dick.
If someone ever said that to me, I would punch them in the dick.
Carl! That guy, Carl.
Oh, my God. It's hard to preach on a full dick. But, okay, I will say, like, people will be like, oh, you got a mirror in your pocket? Because I see myself in your pants.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, that's embarrassing for us both. Please leave.
Yeah, I find pickup lines to be abhorrent.
Who uses them?
No one.
Like, that's not real.
No, but that's not true. I had a friend who did, but he struck out every time. I mean, the guy was like not unlucky in love exponentially. He also smelled very bad.
I was going to say, is this the stinky guy?
This is the stinky guy. How did you know that?
Well, I've listened to a lot of episodes.
Oh, that's true. This is the stinky guy, and he would use pickup lines, and it never, and I mean never worked. Now, when you smell like that, you just probably have two strikes against you already.
Yeah, there's, oof.
But he was just so awkward with women, and I think he felt at ease, a little bit more comfortable, knowing what he was going to say going into the conversation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he had practiced it, or they'd been rehearsed.
What you're going to say.
But he used those cheesy pickup lines.
That sucks.
Like, you have a quarter, I'm going to call your mom and tell her I found the love of my life. Bullshit like that. What is something you have tried really hard to like for a lover or relationship, but just could not? Like Brian and the Jonas Brothers.
The person I was dating. I mean, sometimes you're just trying really hard.
Really,
I'm like, you're nice. I really am trying here, and it's just not doing it.
I dated a girl one time who really was into, I don't know how to describe. I don't know how to describe this. I'll just say it. I'm just going to say it like I say it. She was really into anal sex.
Okay.
She was really into butt love, and she wanted
butt
it.
Love.
Butt love. That's what I call it. Butt love. And I think it's better. Sounds better
and
than
you
ass
were like,
sex.
This is not. I don't want to.
You never marry the up the butt girl.
Please don't make
marry
me.
I know. Honestly, I just didn't
we're
like
into it.
I just didn't like it. I found it to be uncomfortable. I have a real aversion to anything feces related, and also,
yeah, we know.
Yeah, it's, I know. My
I
wife,
get it. I'm also not like a bodily fluids
no,
person. Uh-uh.
There's enough bodily fluids going on anyway in the act of coitus. And so in the act of sex, I do not, it's not my favorite thing. And for most of the people that I've dated, that's been a plus, not a minus, right? They're like, okay, I'm not into it either. That's not something I'm interested in.
There's no,
in.
You know, it slipped.
Yeah. It slipped.
Literally, if it slipped, you need to get your eyes checked,
yeah,
bud.
Seriously. If you don't know the difference between an asshole and a vagina, you are not trying hard enough to find the difference
wrong
between an asshole and a vagina.
You shouldn't be having sex at all.
Definitely not. So, but this girl, she just wanted it, and she just kept asking for it. And so I obliged a couple of times.
Yeah.
But then after a hot minute, I was like, listen, I'm just not all that interested.
Yeah.
And when you're not, and when a guy's not all that interested in something sexually, it's going to show.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be problems in the bedroom.
Naturally.
Yeah. And I offered, I said, hey, listen, could we get like a toy that we could play with?
Yeah.
It just wasn't the same for her. So I understood.
Yeah.
What is the best compliment you have ever received?
Someone once told me, I've got two, I think. Well, okay, I have some that I'm not going to say.
Okay.
Because they're
Fair enough.
Yeah. They're for me.
Yeah.
But
I don't
want
to make your mom blush.
Is that someone once told me I had the body of a Greek goddess.
Yeah!
And I was like, thank you.
Aw.
I love that.
That's very sweet.
It was just like, you're so beautiful. And I was
wow
like, thank you. I am. And then someone else told me, and this is not like necessarily sexual, but someone, I have heard this quite a few times, someone will say, you have a beautiful mouth. And I'm like, thank you. I think that's a really nice compliment because your mouth is a big part of your face.
It's a big part of your face, and it's not something you would usually compliment.
Yeah. When some people are like, you have a beautiful mouth, like beautiful lips. I'm like, oh, thank you.
This is so weird. that you're saying this right now.
Uh-huh.
Because before you came over today, I don't know why I was thinking about this. Probably because I saw a post by this woman that I used to date for like a hot minute. It wasn't very long. We remained friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that I was working at a restaurant when we met. I was sitting at the bar after a shift. Mm-hmm. Her friend had come in from out of town. I was sitting and talking with her friend. And this girl who I was dating came up and she started, you know, like guffawing a little bit over me. Like, isn't he cute? He's so cute. Da, 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 whatever. She's like, look at his mouth. Isn't his mouth so sexy? Like the little thing he's got under his lip. Isn't that like the whole lip and mouth thing so sexy? I'm just in love with that part of him. And I was like, oh, wow. So I got a mouth compliment one time and it has stuck with me.
I love a mouth compliment.
I love a mouth compliment.
It's really nice. And like, I've heard it like, not to brag.
Why are we giving more mouth compliments?
Well, I've heard it like a few times, like quite a few times. And I'm like, thank you.
Including from that one guy who she got off and then left the room.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
You got a pretty mouth, Christina. I'll see you later.
That, man. He's my enemy now. I have a lot of enemies.
If you could, you have a lot of enemies?
No, I don't believe that about you.
Yeah, I don't
just
believe
that. Just being silly.
If you could receive a psychic ability for dating, what would it be? That's an interesting question.
I guess I would want to know someone's real motivations. I think that's the biggest issue.
But do you have trust issues around motivations? Like, are they just here
I wouldn't say I have trust issues around it, but I will say that, like, The people being here like just to fuck is really, it really irks me, really gets under my skin because I'm like, I'm not here to be used. Like, obviously, like we all use people in our lives, especially like when we're younger, you know, we don't necessarily think about people's feelings. But I think it's hard. People will often say what you want to hear just to get what they want. And then they don't treat you that well.
Do you think that this is do you think this is like a younger generation thing that it's so transactional, the nature of dating?
Perhaps.
That people just don't, it's not something that they, for me, I agree with you, right? I can't think, now, of course, I've had one night stands and there's been sexual trysts and all that, but I think everybody knew the score.
Yeah,
right?
And when you're both like, when you're on the same page, everything's fine.
You meet somebody at a bar or a party, you get drunk, you're like, oh, let's go, you know, you go back, you fuck, and maybe it's just not a relationship that continues after that. We've all, I would think if you're a certain age and you're sexually active or like to have sex, you've probably done that before.
Yeah.
But I can't think of a time when I actually just dated a girl to have sex with her.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just not that.
I don't know if it's necessarily like people will just, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it other than just like it does. Like I would
it
like to know people's,
to, yeah.
It really bothers. Well, because also sometimes you have to be like, do they really like who I am or do they just like what I look like?
Interesting.
Which is like a weird thing to be, because it's also like, oh, poor me, pretty girl, like,
yeah,
you know, it's, and it's like, that's a stupid thing to be upset about, but it's also not, because it's like, that is part of my life. I do have to be aware of that. And like, sometimes what really bothers me is like, and this is kind of different to what I was just talking about, but sometimes people will like treat you like a girlfriend, but then they don't want to commit to you in the same way. But then it's like the way they are with you one-on-one is like amazing. It's really great. Things are wonderful.
Turns off the second they leave.
Well, yeah. Or it's just like they just don't think about you in other aspects of their life.
They don't invite you out with friends.
Yeah,
they don't connect you.
Even if we do hang out, it's just like it's not in a like we're romantic way. And that's really frustrating. It's frustrating to feel like you're not good enough necessarily to be with them
in that way.
Yeah. And I feel like that's maybe been a pattern for me, is like people will, they want me, but they just don't want all of me.
So I do see what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
What you're saying is that guys or girls come into your life. You guys have chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
They blow smoke up your ass or they say the right things. Right.
Yeah.
And then it turns physical. While mm-hmm. you're with them one-on-one, you feel really connected with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, really connected, really they, cared for. Yeah. And then, like,
they seem dismissive in the rest of their life.
Yeah, and then the rest, it's just, like, not, you're just not that important. And it's like, well, then why are you treating me this one way when we're on our own? Like, if you just wanted to fuck, just fuck.
Yeah. Just tell me.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to like, fuck.
And we can
I,
work something out.
Yeah, let me make a decision but like, about whether or not that makes sense.
Yeah, but, like, and then, of course, when you go further along, you have those conversations and you realize motivations or whatever, it changes, like, the way you connect.
Yeah.
And, like, it makes the sex worse. Like,
totally.
Things are just different.
And I get
it's
this.
Not good.
I get
it's,
this.
And it just sucks. So I would just like to know people's real motivations at the start.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think I've felt that way before. I've always said this. Show me a good-looking person, and I'll show you someone who's insecure about being good-looking. Mm-hmm. And here's the reason why I believe that. Is because when you are an attractive person, let's say like a universally attractive, everyone says, oh, that's a pretty girl, or oh, that's a handsome dude. You hear that so much that I think when you mature, when you're a little bit self-aware, you understand that you want to be cared for more than just the good looks, and you have a hard time deciphering the difference between someone liking you for your good looks or liking you for who you are.
Yeah.
And me being a homely guy, I'm like, I got to use my personality. I got to lead with personality because I'm not Tom Cruise, right? I'm not Brad Pitt. But I do understand how people who are very attractive and get told that a lot have this void that they're trying to always fill because everyone else is telling them how wonderful they look.
Mm-hmm.
But what they really probably want is someone to see them for who they are, not for how they look.
And I think it's also tricky because I have a very strong personality. And
yes,
like,
you do.
I've always had a very strong sense of self. I have a very strong personality. And I think oftentimes people are just like, whoa, this is all too much. Like, you're a lot. And I don't, like, if I'm not the right person for you, that's fine. Like, I'm not offended by that. Like, you're not going it's not going to affect my sense of self.
Yeah.
But it bothers me when it's like, oh, yeah, like, you're great. You're so wonderful. And, like, all the signs are there of, like, this is good. And then it flips. And it's like, what the fuck? But then you still want me in other ways, but you just don't want me all the time.
Yeah, you sense that your personality is over. Like, they don't know how to handle it.
Yeah,
it's overbearing.
Like, I mean, I'm a lot. Like,
does that happen mainly with guys?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not an issue with women.
I think that there is a whole slew of men out there, right, who have a real problem understanding, accepting, and integrating with a woman who's particularly assertive.
Yeah.
I think it's problematic.
It's really difficult.
It's not how
the brain
works.
I think a lot of men are very intimidated by the way that I am.
Totally.
Which is not, I mean, I'm like, whatever. If you want to be, whatever. If you don't, whatever.
I agree with you.
But it's frustrating. And it's also, I think sometimes men or people will hear me say that and they're like, oh, you're so conceited. And I'm like, no, I mean, like this.
No,
I just have a strong
value.
I have a strong sense of self, and like I always have.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the youngest of three.
This is what bugs the shit out of me about these like videos, like the one we watched last time, where the women are reverting back to some weird submissive, like shut the fuck up and let the man deal with it and go through God by the man.
Stupid.
It really upsets me because I think that men have this like almost genetic code that makes us nervous to be around women who are asserting themselves, confident in themselves, and self-aware.
Yeah.
I think it's really problematic. Let me ask you an interesting question that I've asked Chrissy a couple times, and we've asked this four or five times.
Okay. So
if you were in a relationship and someone was cheating on you and you could know or not know, would you want to know or not know?
I'd want to know.
You don't want to know?
No, I would want to know.
You would want to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
For sure.
I forget who it
and
was.
And then I would fuck them up.
Amen. We've all been cheated on. That fucking sucks, man.
I mean, my only experience with it was never confirmed.
Yeah.
And I think that bothers me because I'm pretty certain what happened, but I don't have any proof of it.
You
never got proof. And we just broke up and I was like, don't want you in my life anymore, whatever. And then I proceeded to go through a very difficult time involving something else. So it didn't really, if I hadn't been through that other difficult thing, I probably would have like focused on that more.
Sure.
But it just wasn't relevant to my life anymore after that. Mm. And so I don't know. I think it does bother me though sometimes as I think about it and I'm like, I know you fucking cheated on me, you
I
rat
know your
bastard.
Dick was in someone else.
Mm-hmm.
God damn
and
it.
And he married her.
He did?
Yeah.
He married the up the butt girl.
Good for her.
Never marry the up the butt girl.
Good for him. Good for her.
Never marry the up the butt girl.
But honestly, you do you. If you want to do it up the butt, do it up the butt.
No, I agree with you. That's that guy, Paul, that I was like, he's a painter guy that I worked for during the Olympics. So he'd say, you're at that age where you're scared of pussy. He would say, never marry the up the butt girl.
Yeah, he's full of beans, as they say.
I'm not sure that guy ever had sex
if
once.
If you're doing it up the butt, hopefully you're not full of beans. Ooh.
Fair enough.
These bitches is messy.
Fair enough. You know who's got a perfectly clean colon, probably? Joe Jonas and the Khaleesi. Those two should get back together.
The Khaleesi.
The Khaleesi. Oh, I love it. Sorry. I've now talked about 90 Day Fiancé, Taylor Swift, Joe Jonas. Yeah. It's that kind of show.
This has devolved a little. I feel like I blame myself.
I love it. I love having you here. And so do the people out there. They love it. Lots of great compliments. Thanks for all of the communications. If you want to get a hold of us, you can. Go to tcbpodcast.com. The entire library, audio and video, right there at one location. You can also hit the Contact Us button. If you want your free Piggy Fronting sticker, the next in our series, hit the Contact Us button, drop-down menu, I want my sticker, send us your address, we'll send it off to you. Questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas can also be sent on the website or at 626-ASK-TCB3. That's 626-ASK-TCB, the number 3, toll-free from anywhere in the world. Hit us up or leave us a voicemail, and maybe your voice will be on the commercial break. Ask TCB, ask Brian's mom. You have a question for somebody in the studio or outside of the studio for Christina. You can leave us a voicemail, and then you might hear your voice on the show. If you don't want your real name used, don't say it. That's just all I got to say. I'll try and cut the voice. I'll try and cut the names out. But if you don't want your real voice, real name used,
I can bleep it.
Yeah, you can bleep it. Yeah. Christina will bleep it. More editing work for Christina. But it'll be somebody besides my voice. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok. And please do us a favor. Go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Fully edited episodes the same day they air here on the audio feed. Please subscribe and like on your favorite video. We sure would appreciate it. Okay. Well, I guess that's all I can do for today, Christina. But I'll tell you, best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. We love you. Thanks for being so good to us. Until next time, we always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.
Check your panties.